Well, there are some jobs that no one wants to do. Could you imagine cleaning up after murders, overdoses or other horrific scenes? Sandra Pankhurst is a trauma cleaner and a very unlikely person to be doing such a job. A glamorous middle-aged blonde who began life as a boy called Peter. A new book traces the remarkable twists and turns in her life which have led her to this line of work. I spoke to the author of The Trauma Cleaner, Sarah Krasnostein, about the woman behind the story.
Born a boy. She was adopted very early on, a couple weeks old, through the Catholic Church. And the family was quite an abusive alcoholic family in Melbourne, one of the inner city suburbs here in Melbourne, in a very rough working class neighborhood in the early 50s. So, you know, she was the victim of sustained emotional and physical abuse for her entire childhood, physically excluded from the family home, you know, did, quote unquote, the right thing, the normal thing, and married very young in her teens, had two boys in quick succession, and then realized, you know, she couldn't continue on in this role as husband and father. She had to transition to living full-time as a woman, and she made her way to St. Kilda and started dancing in the drag shows there, doing sex work because she was locked out of her profession now that she is transitioning into living as a woman. She worked in the brothels of Kalgoorlie, and then when she came back to Melbourne, she was the victim of a pretty vicious sexual assault. And that meant that she could no longer work in the brothels. And so she enters the, quote unquote, straight, normal workforce for the first time in her 30s and flourishes as one of the first female funeral directors in the state. She met her husband, who was a conservative, middle-aged businessman who just adored her. They had a hardware store. And then when that kind of went bust after the multinationals came through, the big franchises, she started cleaning. And she's had this trauma cleaning business ever since. So many lives.
In your book, you've got a couple of amazing chapters describing how she goes about her work. The first chapter is a deeply paranoid, deeply disturbed woman with a lot of mental illness issues in a house just crammed with junk. And you describe so beautifully how Sandra deals with her, how totally non-judgmental she is, how she's able to move into that space and actually begin to transform it. Can you just kind of summarize what it is about her that makes those people feel at ease?
You know, I've seen her in all of these, you know, many jobs dealing with people like this who fall totally outside of our social network. And, you know, those awful shows that, you know, like Hoarders, which try to look down on these people and say how different we are from them. And isn't it gross or disgusting? Where Sandra was an excellent guide who could really just show, you know, there but for the grace of whatever you want to call it would go her or I or you or all the rest of us. And I think she was applying this call to compassion and kindness that she was denied so many times in her own life. And that's her inherent orientation. She'll go in, she will chat about the weather, she'll chat about the traffic, you know, put a hand on their shoulders. And suddenly, just by, you know, virtue of being given this kindness of equality and non-judgment, they really start to respond to that. So in practical terms, it makes her job a little bit easier when the clients aren't distressed. But it's also just a very natural reaction from Sandra to be completely herself, regardless of who she's speaking to. And it was really beautiful to see that.
What would make anyone want to be a trauma cleaner, though? Like in another chapter, you know, you go into the house of someone who died of an overdose and the body was left in the house for 2 weeks. Horrible job where you have to wear masks, you know, just to be in the room. What would make anyone want to do that?
Well, I think for the cleaners, it's money. It's a job that is open for them and that they can do. Doesn't pay very well, but, you know, if you are in particular situations in your life, you often don't have the luxury of a choice when it comes to work. So there's that. At her level, in terms of operating a business of industrial cleaning, she moved into it from domestic cleaning, and she had identified this gap in the market from her funeral business days and, you know, could kind of stand between police or emergency services and, you know, the various places that she sources her jobs from, and it paid a little bit more than the domestic cleaning. It does require more expertise and more training, but it was something that, while she was repulsed by it initially, she found she does have the internal strength and I think the mental fortitude to handle. She's not intimidated by anybody, and she's not, you know, grossed out by anything, so it suits her personality at that level.
And in the case of cleaning out the overdose victim's place, she took extraordinary care to make sure the family got all the things they wanted from that person.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she has beautiful eye for detail. Like, she'll, in that case, she went through the books on the shelf to see that, you know, the person that had died there. It didn't have any photos remaining in the book that the family might want. And I think that's a level of thoughtfulness that, you know, you don't see in the average person.
That's Sarah Krasnostein. She's author of The Trauma Cleaner.